My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is our second lesson, which Brian read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, Paul's words there, I think, sound a little bit like what I might say to my grandson when I'm leaving to go home. Things like, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, be good, remember to be polite. And in a way, Paul is admonishing his children in this church in Thessalonica. This was the first church that he founded, and it is the oldest letter from St. Paul, written probably around 50 AD, so just 20, 25 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. He is sending this letter to the Thessalonians to give them encouragement and support, since he may not be able to get back to see them again. Yet even this new church, which is strong in faith, is troubled with an important question. They are wondering about their loved ones who have died. The end time has not arrived, Christ has not returned, yet the members of their community are passing away. And so they wonder, has God forsaken them? They seem to have been asking how they can rejoice in the Lord while they are grieving. How could they continue to trust and believe that Jesus was the resurrection and the life when everyone around them seemed to be dying? Well, today is the third Sunday in Lent, which is traditionally called in Latin Gaudete Sunday, and it means to rejoice. And of course, the first word in our second lesson today is rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice. But I want to ask, too, what is it that we should be rejoicing about in the world that is pretty difficult right now, if not actually grueling, as we look at the news each day? I find myself shaking my head. I worry about climate change, especially as we see the ferocious fires out in California due to the Santa Ana winds that have never been this ferocious. I worry about the ongoing political mess in Washington and how we may be passing a tax bill that increases the wealth of the wealthy. It's been 5 years since the Sandy Hook shooting, and I am not so sure that we have done anything to protect our children from a mentally ill shooter. Sexual harassment fills the headlines as people we knew and trusted to come into our homes on the television file out in shame. And that's not even to mention the threat of nuclear war, which we have not experienced for decades. Instead of rejoicing, I want to say, how long, O Lord? Theologian Rachel Held Evans writes, "To claim that the lighting of the national Christmas tree each year makes this country a Christian nation, while its powerful systematically oppress the poor, turn away refugees, incite violence against religious and ethnic minorities, molest and harass women and girls, and call them liars when they dare to speak up, is, in the words of the prophet Amos, sickening to God." So how can we rejoice in a time when we are grieving many of our values being lost? Values like peace and harmony and human decency and justice. I think the key here in looking at Paul's text is not just looking at rejoice, but the words rejoice in the Lord. So this is not just a time to listen to happy, clappy songs on the radio. It's not about having alcohol-induced fun at a Christmas party. To rejoice, of course, means to have joy. And joy is so much deeper than happiness. Happiness can be purchased by material things, but joy has to be won, often through suffering. A new mother is not just happy after perhaps struggling to become pregnant and then enduring 9 months of being uncomfortable and having it all topped off with labor pains. But then, all is forgotten as she holds her very own child in her arms. That, my friends, is joy. Joy is when you have worked and saved and taken out loans to send your kids to college, and then the day comes when they wear that cap and gown and you are so proud of them, and you are filled with joy. It takes sacrifice to reach joy. So today, as we journey through Advent, Paul gives us instructions on how to continue to wait until Christ comes again. To rejoice in the Lord, who came to share our human joys and sorrows, and who gives God's very self to us through Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Who for us lived out the patterns of suffering and burst from the tomb in joy that will never end. This is indeed good news, and it is a joy that fills our hearts and overflows to others. Paul tells us to pray constantly as we wait for Christ's return. He assures the Thessalonian church that those who have already fallen asleep in faith will be the first to be raised on the last day. The only way to pray without ceasing is to live your prayer, to walk in it daily. All of life and how we live becomes a prayer. And yes, of course, sometimes we lose focus and we turn away from the path. But God forgives us and sets us right back on the way once again of our prayer. Third, Paul advises his children to give thanks in everything. Everything? Have you ever tried to give thanks in everything? It's really hard to do. And sometimes I've prayed with people, and I almost always begin a prayer with, "Lord, we give thanks for." But sometimes when you're in a crisis, you don't know quite what that's going to be. And yet we give thanks for God's presence that is there because of his gift of our Savior, Jesus. A God that's there for us. You see, Paul is giving this little church some resources for the future. Resources to get there. Rejoice in the Lord, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things. That will take you a long way. And he adds, this is the will of God in Christ for you. It's not the will of God that bad things happen, but it's the will of God that we rejoice, pray, and give thanks. God wants us to be about these three things as we wait. Our first lesson today was from Isaiah 61, and it outlines reasons to rejoice in the Lord. I enjoyed hearing Brian read the words that Jesus read from Isaiah at his very first sermon in Nazareth in the synagogue. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners to comfort those who mourn. This is God's promise to us through his Son. And I just learned that the word promise comes from the same word for mission. So promises are not empty words. Promises are meant for action. Isaiah is speaking to the Jewish people in exile. And just imagine what it would be like if your whole town was devastated, your church was burnt to the ground, everything was left desolate as you and your people were taken to live in a foreign country. That's what happened to the Israelites. But after serving their time in exile, God promises that the Lord will give them gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. God will help them reconstruct their home. He will bring them home, and they cannot wait to return. Which reminds me of the psalm that is appointed for today, Psalm 126, which is one of my favorites, and it's actually written in the situation when these people finally come home to Jerusalem. And it reads, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us,' and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." Our weeping over a lost time and lost values is not useless. Our suffering for the sake of what is good and what is right is not in vain. God promises to restore what was lost when Christ comes again. Then justice will roll down like water. Then people will treat their neighbors of every color and every race with decency and respect. Greed will be wiped out, and there will be peace among us. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. God will restore wholeness to our communities, and parents will mourn no more. The brokenhearted will be returned to their loved ones. People with mental illness will be treated and restored to sound mind. This is God's promise to you and to me, and we will rejoice in it. It is also the mission that is given to us while we wait. So eat your veggies, brush your teeth, rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.